Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Thanks for being with us on this drizzly Friday. Get ready for some basketball tonight, both the Cards and the Cats in action. And obviously both decided favorites in their matchups. Are there point spreads on these particular tilts?
I didn't see any yesterday, but I'm one to miss.
Very often, basketball doesn't come out until the day of the game. Very often.
Yeah.
Louisville's a 9-point favorite over Furman. It's not as much as not enough to make you as comfortable as you might like to be. The Cats taking on Robert Morris are 22.5-point favorites. That's a little bit better. You'd like that a little bit more. Robert Morris has played one game. They lost 69-59 to Central Florida, and now they take on the Colonials. It would be too at the Kentucky's not the Colonels. You'd have the Colonels and the Colonials. That would drive little kids crazy. That's the word Colonels is enough to drive you back.
Oh yeah, no, that makes no damn sense.
Colonels out of COL.
How do we not get angrier about that? Maybe it's just because we have such a affinity for colonels in the state, but
we're too busy being mad about everything else. I mean, everybody's mad about everything. There's only so much time in a day.
I'm Johnny Two Sides in this.
Sure,
I kind of like it though because it makes so much nonsense. But despite the handful of times I misspelled it as a kid, I don't know what happened, Dad, but I used to be an impeccable speller. Impeccable.
Spell impeccable.
I-M-P-E-C-C-A-B-L-E.
Ding. Very good.
Wow. Nice. Okay,
you didn't
cool.
even ask for language of origin or anything.
All the synapses just fired right there. That was pretty
nice.
Cool. It hurt.
You ran on your game.
It hurt a little
very
bit,
good.
But yeah, we got it done. So, no, but that was like the one word, and because I kept spelling it like, kernel, like corn kernel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just assumed like the guys in the Army were called, were spelled like that. And they were like, I called everything colonial.
That's what makes it confusing. And very often they're used in the same sentences. I mean, there were actually colonial colonels.
Oh, my God,
so think about
yeah.
that. That would drive that. Your head would explode.
Yeah, anytime you're covering the, Revolution or maybe the War of 1812. Yeah, just that absolutely. Was the War of 1812 considered colonial times? I don't know.
No, we were not the colonies by then. We were the United States.
Colonial I was going to say, it was like, what designates colonial times? Yeah, okay, colonies.
When we were colonies. That would be, I don't know that, but I would think so.
It's going to be dumb. This is going to be dumb. But not too dumb, I don't think. After America gained independence, were there still colonies? Well, I mean, or were they just referred to as like territories?
I think they're referred to as. That's actually a legitimate question.
Yeah. Okay.
But I didn't think
I was being too stupid there. I thought I was actually legit.
I think they were. I think everything else was just territories. That's a really good question. I'm not sure how you'd find the answer to that. And who's a historian out there? Were there any? There must have been some, though, right? I don't know. Were there any colonies after 1776, I guess, right? Here we go. Yeah, there's an answer right here. Were there any colonies left?
Joe Wiz is joining us in 5 minutes, by the way, everyone. Don't worry. We'll get back to sports.
There were still 16 territories under, but they were referred to as territories under colonial rule after Oh, no, that's now. There are still 16 territories under colonial rule by the United Kingdom, the United States, and France. They include Bermuda, the Falkland Islands,
say, yeah,
the Cayman
Islands,
the U.S. Virgin Islands, Gibraltar, French Polynesia, Guam, and others.
Gibraltar always makes me chuckle.
Okay. Actually, this one says there are 61 colonies or territories in the world, but the 16 were just by those three countries. If you add in Australia, which has 6, Denmark has 2, Netherlands has 2, France has 16, New Zealand has 3, Norway 3, the United Kingdom 15, and the United States 14. We're in third place. France has more than anybody. Those wild French. Were there any colonies left? So there have to be. There's still some now. But let's take a look. After 1776, after the Revolutionary War, let's see. What happened to the British Loyalists after the Revolutionary War?
The Tories, as they were called.
I don't know. The expulsion of the Loyalists. I love history. I should know more about this. During the American Revolution, those who continued to support King George III of Great Britain came to be known as Loyalists. Loyalists are to be contrasted with Patriots, who were led at that time, amazingly, by Tom Brady, even all the way back then. That's remarkable. who supported the Revolution. Historians have estimated that during the American Revolution, 15-20% of the white population of the colonies, or about 500,000 people total, were Loyalists, as the war with Great Britain, who were defeated by the Americans and the French by a score of 58-42. Again, making wrap up, I don't even know why that would be the score. The most active Loyalists were no longer welcome in the United States and sought to move elsewhere in the British Empire. The large majority of the Loyalists, however, 80-90% of them, remained in the United States and enjoyed full citizenship, even though they were mad that they were no longer, what's the word I'm looking for? When you are a subject of the British king, the British crown. So, but what about the, well, I guess, there we go. Loyalists resettled in what was initially the province of Quebec, Nova Scotia. A lot of them went to Canada. Many Loyalists, sadly, brought their slaves with them because slavery was still legal in Canada. So they
went. What the hell, Canada?
Kind of disappointed about that there. But
you were the best of us.
But let's take one last thing. I'm sorry, but this is interesting to me. This will be the last way we can answer it. Map of the North America after 1776. That would tell us. In 1776. Let's see what we got. Oh, beautiful. This is exactly what I'm looking for. Right here. No, you're right. They're just gigantic territories. Good Lord, the Midwest was a giant territory.
Yeah, well, there's all the states. Like the Louisiana Purchase? It was just
This is the French. This is the Louisiana Purchase. The province of Louisiana, as it was called, actually went from the Gulf of Mexico to what's now currently Seattle, Washington. It was Washington, Oregon, Utah, all of them. We're all part of the... How did we get all that from them? What did we give them? Did we buy it from them?
Oh, man. Well, wasn't it in, like, Hamilton or whatever? I mean, we got a pretty good-ass deal. Because I think they were, like, out of money from, like, all their wars and crap. And so, we gave it... And I think they were in the middle of, like, a revolution, too. So, I think, they were like, hey, whatever. We don't really want to be over here anymore. So we got it for a song. Not as much as we got the island of Manhattan or Alaska. America was a wheeling dealing son of a gun. I mean, like, it was like the Gordon Gekko of, like, countries. Like,
my classmate, here's a comedy callback. As far as my classmate Jamie didn't get to list some of those territories.
There you go.
Then she'd have made a real good commission.
Naturally. Her name's Jamie.
But it's amazing that, I mean, it's really just divided into basically five. Florida was a Spanish cession, C-E-S-S-I-O-N. The French cession, or the province of Louisiana, that's the Louisiana Purchase, went all the way to the Pacific Northwest. Then there was the Texas annexation in 1845, the Texas cession in 1850, the first Mexican cession, which included California, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and then a very small part at the bottom on the south part of Arizona, the second Mexican cession, or the Gadsden purchase, and then the Alaska was actually bought from Russia, Russian cession or purchased whatever cession, however they acquired it. But there you go, and that's how we got what we got right now. Where do we get Hawaii from? I don't know. That's not on this map, so I don't know how we acquired Hawaii. Maybe it was a two-for-one deal. It was buy Louisiana and get Hawaii thrown in free. Just pay separate shipping. I don't know. Anyway, that's our history lesson for today. So there you go. History's fascinating stuff. You want to talk about the games? You'll talk about the games. I believe.
Joe Wiz.
Oh, Joe Wiz is the perfect guy to talk about the games with, and he is... I don't know what that is there. We got just got a memo from Louisville. Okay, I just found it. All right, we're good. Joe Wiz joins us. You can hear his program tomorrow on 93.9 The Ville, and he breaks down some of the games for us. So thanks so much for being with us, Joe. And you got two football teams that are kind of in very different matchups this week. Louisville in a matchup against the Syracuse team that kind of mirrors a lot of what they do statistically, and is projected to be a close game. And then Kentucky is playing a game where they are decided favorites, even though it's on the road at Vanderbilt. What are your thoughts on these two matchups, and thanks for joining us again.
Yes, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on. It's the middle of November time. It's flying. I don't know where it's going, but I'm really excited to be on the show. You know, when you take a look at this Louisville matchup, I favor Louisville in this matchup here. I think that their offense, the biggest difference is their offense here. They have an edge over Syracuse. It's only a field goal game. I think that Louisville will take care of business here. As far as the other game with Kentucky, I'm not crazy about laying so many points on the road here. If I was going to play the game, maybe play the total under the game. Vanderbilt is offensively challenged to score. I don't trust Kentucky as a big road favorite. I don't trust anybody laying three touchdowns on the road in any event, whether it's football or basketball or any sport. So I would either play the under in this game or make a small play on the dog here. I just don't trust laying three touchdowns in any game at all.
I like your underplay. I mean, the over-under is 52.5, and I think that's a lot of points for this matchup. So I think Louisville can, I mean, Kentucky can, and keep Vanderbilt maybe in single digits or 10 or 12, 13 points. And Kentucky's not known for putting up gargantuan numbers. I mean, if they wind up winning by a very one-sided score, let's make one up. Let's say, 35-13, you're still well under the over-under. I mean, it's 52.5. So,
the other thing in this game here is people looking at, what happened last week and, how Louisville scored a lot of points, but in reality, Kentucky in general likes to run the ball a lot, okay? And when these teams, these big favorites, take the lead, they just like to sit on the clock. So if they're up two or three touchdowns in the second half, they're not looking to run up the scores. They're just looking to get out of there healthy and go on to their next opponent. So that's the angle that people have to look at when you're playing these totals. When you're up, if Kentucky's fortunate enough to be up, as the line indicates, and they're up two or three touchdowns in the third or fourth quarter, they're not throwing the ball.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That you got to take all those things into account. I've lost some bets that way, taking a big favorite, and there's still plenty of time in the game, and they've been going up and down the field, and you figure they're going to really tack it on, and sure enough, they do just what you said. Then they start just keeping the ball on the ground, playing very conservatively, milking the clock, and they don't get any more points, and you wind up taking it in the shorts. So, I think your advice is a good one here. Let's talk about the overall picture for a minute, if we can. I don't know if you've projected this because you're looking at specific games, but when you take a look at college football now, I think people are kind of project what's going to happen in the overall college football playoff, and right now you've got some teams, and everybody, I guess, let me ask you up front, Cincinnati is fifth right now, and they got Oregon, Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia ahead of them. That's asking a lot because you'd have to know their schedules, but any of those four teams more vulnerable than the others in your mind to give Cincinnati a chance to maybe squeeze into that top four?
Absolutely. Alabama. Alabama's going to have to play Georgia in the SEC championship game, and Georgia will be favored in that game. And Alabama, like I said, they've been playing back and forth. Their defense is still suspect. They've been going, you know, even against a team like LSU last week, they struggled. I know it was a big rivalry and all that stuff, but Georgia will be favored over Bama. I'm expecting Georgia to run the table, and they'll play Alabama. So if Alabama, they're not going to put in a two-loss team into the playoff picture. So Cincinnati, if they can take care of business, even though I feel that there is some, you know, question marks about the Bearcats and their schedule as well, but all they do is keep winning as well. So you have to respect a team like that, and sometimes it's good to see a team like Cincinnati get in there instead of the powerhouse teams here. And Oregon is another team that, you know, I'm a little bit questionable about them as well. Their big win came against Ohio State in Columbus, and they're riding that as well. So, but I think that Alabama is going to lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game, and you're going to have Cincinnati. All the Bearcat fans are going to love me, even though I'm not a Bearcat fan. Bearcats are going to sneak into that playoff picture.
You know, what's interesting is a team that you talk about being under the radar. I mean, Oklahoma is 9-0, and they got Baylor, who's ranked 13th left, Iowa State, who's a good team, even though they're not ranked, they're 6-3, and then Oklahoma State, who's ranked 10th. I mean, if they run the table, how the hell do you keep them out of everything?
Well, Oklahoma's not going to run the table because I'm projecting Baylor to beat them tomorrow.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
Mark it down. Baylor's getting 6 points against Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma, their defense is very suspect. They got Williams, who, you know, just got into the lineup on the 6th, I mean, on the beginning of October. But here they're a small favorite on the road. They still got to travel to Stillwater to take on Oak State, a good team, and they're fortunate enough to get Iowa State. They'll get to play them in Norman. So of those three games, I think that Iowa State would probably be the toughest challenge. However, I think Baylor rebounds off of the loss last week. I talked about it on my show, which will be on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. I'll break down every college football game, but I feel that Baylor has a shot of beating Oklahoma outright. I obviously took the 6 points, but I think a money line bet at Bet Rivers, who is my sponsor of the Fine Line, at Bet Rivers, you could do the money line and get some good value on the Baylor Bears getting 6. Some, you know, some places you might even find a little bit more there. Getting 6, but the money line bet, you'll almost get almost 2-1 action on the Baylor Bears. I think they can give Oklahoma a scare and possibly pull the upset.
Wow. Joe Wiz is with us. All right, so you've obviously looked at all the games. Then I know the people will still want to tune in tomorrow because we're certainly not going to be able to get to all that many of them today. So tune in tomorrow at 10 on 93.9 The Ville, and you can hear Joe Wiz go through his picks. But is there an upset special for this week? I love that. Baylor could be maybe that special, but is there somewhere else where you look where you go, that team is underdog, but they're going to get the job done? What are you looking at there?
Yeah, I'm going to take a look to the NFL because we're talking about college football. We talk about NFL and, of course, college basketball. But I know you're an avid college basketball fan, and you know. But getting to the NFL, the game I talk about is Kansas City. I bet against Kansas City. I took the Raiders in a primetime game Sunday night. The Raiders are getting 2.5. I think they have the wrong team favorite. Kansas City is 4-16 against the spread in the last 20 games. I bet against them since the Super Bowl last year. Even prior to that, they lead the NFL in turnovers, and last week Mahomes was very fortunate to get by and beat a Green Bay team that was compromised without Rodgers. I was happy to take Green Bay with the points, and Kansas City just cannot be trusted on the road. I mean, when a team has all these turnovers, it just doesn't go away, and Mahomes just is not playing well. People think they're going to turn the light switch on and they're going to start playing like the preseason favorites that everybody expected. It's not happening. I'm not even expecting Kansas City to make the playoffs, and I'm giving you an upset special. I'm taking the Raiders plus the 3 and plus the 2.5, but I'm also taking them on the money line for people out there in the NFL there. 4-16 against the spread is just too hard to ignore. And we've all seen Kansas City play, and they're just not that good this year.
Yeah, there you go. So there's your upset special. The Raiders to win outright in a game with their underdogs. And home dogs in the NFL are always entertaining anyway, always worth entertaining a consideration on. Let's talk about the local teams real quick before I let you go. Jaguars and Colts. Colts are a 10.5-point favorite, but they've had problems with this Jaguar team for some reason. In fact, they lost to them week one last year, and then the Jaguars didn't win a game the rest of the season. This is a very important game for the Colts. If they win it, they still can be very much in the wild card playoff hunt. If they lose it, they drop to 4-6 and really puts them in a bad situation. Can the Colts cover the 10.5? What are your thoughts?
I'm not interested in laying 10.5 points with the Colts. I mean, they looked okay against the Jets in that Thursday night game 10 days ago. But, you know, laying double digits in the NFL is just not a good investment. I mean, you saw what happened last week with all these upsets happening, with Buffalo getting knocked off, with the Denver Broncos, the Titans. Look what happened last night. Look what happened with the Miami Dolphins last night. Nobody gave the Jets. That line moved all the way up to 9.5. I seen some places close the line at 10. But I'd rather take a look at the total here. I think the Colts are going to win, but the total here is 47. I'm not sure how the Jaguars are going to score. I know they play well against the Colts and all that stuff, but I think the Colts, they have a good running attack, and I think that with Taylor, I think if the Colts take the lead again in the second half, they'll take it easy and coast by them. Last week, Buffalo lost to Jacksonville 9-6. I'm not expecting that low of a score a game here, but 47 points, it just seems a little bit high for me because I don't think the Jaguars will score a lot of points. I think the Colts take the lead, and then they sit on the ball in the second half and milk the clock, and I'm going under 47.5 is my play in that game.
All right. How about the Titans, who have a good matchup with New Orleans? They're home against the Saints, 3-point favorites. Titans 7-2 right now, kind of running away with that division. But New Orleans has had some really good games this year, and at 5-3, getting 3 points. Do you like the road dog, or do you like Tennessee to cover at home?
New Orleans has been very inconsistent this year. It's hard to figure out what they do. They beat Brady and company at home, but then last week they didn't do good against Atlanta. The quarterback situation with Simeon, we're not sure what we're going to see with Simeon, how well he's going to play. He played okay last week, but, you know, question mark about Kamara. There's questions whether he's going to even play for New Orleans. And listen, Bob, nobody gives the Titans any respect. The Titans could be the best team in the AFC and perhaps the entire NFL. All they've done is won 5 in a row. They've covered the spread, and they've taken care of business. They beat the Rams, who are supposed to be the best team in the NFL. They beat Kansas City, they beat Buffalo, and they beat the Colts, and they were all underdogs in all 4 of those games, and they won all 4 of them outright. So Tennessee, it seems like a trap game. People are saying, why are they only a 4-point favorite in the game? But guess what? I'm laying the 3 points. I'm riding this Tennessee bandwagon until someone stops this train, because the Titans right now could be in position to secure the number one seed in the AFC. I'm riding the Titans until someone shows me that they're going to be stopped, and I don't think the Saints could stop them.
Very good. Hey, Joe, we'll listen for the show tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Meanwhile, take care of yourself. Be safe. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much.
All right, Joe Wiz, and you'll hear his show tomorrow on 93.9 The Ville. All right, we need your help here, folks. You can text us one game. Pick against the spread. You can pick anywhere you want, college or NFL. Nick will take the first 4 he gets. We've already got one. We've got Paul Biancardi took Auburn, laying 3. So that you guys are picking for Mike Pratt, and you did well for him 2 weeks ago. You got him 3 points, I think. I only got 2 that week. So the margin now is down to 23-18 is my lead, and we'll see how it works out in this week. So text them to us, 437-9680, and Nick can find about, four of them. We need 4 more. But make sure one is in the NFL. So we'll get through. He's going to have 4 college games. We've already got one. He's taken Auburn. And then I'll make my picks, and we'll see what it turns out to be as we head into our next week. And then
three.
The back end of the hour, the very end of the hour. 437-9680.
Yeah, no, sorry. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. We're going to reconnect during the break because I'm sensing a small delay. But I want to work a couple texts.
You're real
delayed. Yeah, I want to work a couple texts in here. While I'm reading these, why don't you go ahead and reconnect? Maybe we can do this on the fly. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. It says here, this show feels a little bit like a We Want to Know Wednesday on a Friday, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I'm loving it.
I wasn't here.
Keep up the good work, this guy says.
Thank you.
The British signed with 13 states, 13 separate documents, I believe. Let's see here. We didn't get anything
history guy
until 1803, and we bought it from Napoleon, who originally took it from Spain. The colonies usually refer to places settled by the Britons, like Canada. Territories are usually places ruled but populated mostly by indigenous people. There you go.
Nice.
437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Let's see here. Colonies are colonies until they become states. Didn't Arby's have the little cartoon hand similar to that hamburger helper guy?
Yes, they did.
Oven mitt. I was a big fan of oven mitt.
I do remember that. I wonder where he went, I'll admit. There's another one that's got a logo that looks very much like... Oh, I can't remember the commercial I saw the other day. I thought... And when it came on, I thought it was a commercial for something else because the little logo guy looked exactly like the other companies stupidly. Now I can't remember it, so it's ridiculous. I'm just floundering around here. But it was kind of like that same thing. It was like the oven mitt, the hand thing, and I was like, wait a second, that's not for Hamburger Helper. That's for Arby's. What are you doing?
A texter also wants us. We were doing the Twitter battle.
Okay.
And he said he wants to do one that is... Marvel Civil War themed. We're going to go Captain America versus Iron Man. We're going to go with Chris Evans versus Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. is going to win.
He is?
Yes.
But it was close. 16,
I was right.
16.7 million for Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, and 15.4 for my guy, Cap, Captain America, Chris Evans. So that was pretty good.
Good matchup.
By the way... the only thing that Robert Downey Jr. follows on Twitter is Footprint Coalition.
What the hell's that?
I think that's his Robert Downey Jr.'s charity for to help people reduce their carbon footprint.
Yeah, the environment. Right, I figured that. Welcome to Robert Downey Jr.'s Footprint Coalition. How many followers do they have? 15,400.
15.2 million for Chris Evans, by the way.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
What happened?
We have a special guest that just came in.
Who?
Magic Mike is in the studio, visiting.
Oh, good. Well,
the magic one.
Say hi to him.
The paladin.
He's not a paladin.
I'm telling you, paladin, like, that might originally have referred to a Charlemagne knight. It's been turned into, like, some sort of magical thing. By the way, this texter is taking Coastal Carolina to cover.
Okay, let's take a look at that. We need more because I need some more.
I've got to work it in. Our guy New York Mike called earlier.
Oh, yay.
And it's shocker. The one in the NFL.
He took the Raiders?
He wants the Raiders to cover this weekend against the Chiefs.
All right, well, it's a good play. We'll give him that because I wouldn't mind taking that one my own self if I'd had the chance. And Joe Wiz kind of convinced me of that. That was actually a good play. Let me go look up the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. If I can remember what the hell league they're in. What league are they in?
Colonial.
No, since the Colonial doesn't play football, I don't think. So that's going to... Oh, maybe they do.
Texter is asking, what sporting event is in town this weekend? I've seen App State, Liberty, and East Carolina team buses today. I don't know. Who do the number one ranked Louisville volleyball team have?
They're not playing any of them.
No, I know. But, I mean, who do they have this weekend? Let's see here. They play Georgia Tech tonight, 7 p.m.
At home?
Looks like it.
No, we don't want to say it unless you
know for
sure.
No. It's on the road. It's on the road. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's on the road.
Coastal Carolina plays at home.
No. I'm sorry. I misread that. Yeah. No, it's the poster has. It was a little misleading on the poster. Sorry. But no, yeah, they host number 14 Georgia Tech, the number one ranked Louisville women's volleyball team, hosting number 14 Georgia Tech at LNN Federal Credit Union Arena tonight. 7 p.m. Yeah, that's a big tilt.
I'm looking for the point spread on this one. Let's see what we got. It's Georgia State at Coastal Carolina. Please give me a spread, you little whippersnappers.
Also, I wanted to get him on, but it was, you know, it's game day. But number
they're
22.
They're in the American Conference, by the way, just FYI. Coastal Carolina.
Number six, U of L, number six U of L women on the road today. I think a neutral site, but in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at the Sanford Pentagon. That's a cool sounding arena.
American, that's not right.
They're taking on number 22 Arizona. I wanted to get Jeff Walls on today, but it's game day and they're tipping off at 4:30. So I thought it was a little too close to game time to try to get him. But we'll catch up with him next week, hopefully.
Starting to get pissed off here.
Yeah, you're annoying me too because you're not listening to anything I'm saying.
No, because I can't find the damn spread, and that's part. The guy was nice enough to send the pick in. I got to be able to find the damn spread, and I can't find it, and it's ticking me the hell off.
How is it not on ESPN?
I can't find the damn game.
Okay.
I'm sorry to be embarrassed to admit this. I don't know what the hell league they're in.
Well, aren't they a top 25 team?
All right. Well, I'll look it that way then. I'll look for it through the poll. That's a good suggestion, actually. That was a damn good suggestion.
I thought they were. Did they drop out?
Probably, but it doesn't matter. Maybe they'll... I mean, this is really annoying it blank out of me.
Why don't you tell everyone about Genesis Diamond? Something that'll make you happy.
I'm finding this game. No, I'm so determined to find this game. I don't care about anybody, and I don't care about anything. I'm finding this damn game. That's the way it is. Now, everybody...
Yeah, they're playing Georgia State tomorrow. I don't know.
I already know that. I'm trying to find out what the spread is, for the love of God. Of course, Coastal Carolina is not ranked, because that would make my life easy.
No, they are ranked. They're the number 22nd team in the country. I don't know why it's not showing up here. Maybe ESPN just forgot to post it.
No, San Diego State is number 22. What the hell are you looking at?
Well, maybe we're going by different rankings. Maybe they're 22 in the
AP. They're not
in
the playoff
something.
Rankings at all. I don't know. Is there a coaches poll or something that's different? This has turned into a damn train wreck.
Yeah, this is really bad. Freaking Chanticleer is just absolutely...
It's unbelievable. It's like they've disappeared.
They have absolutely nuked the show.
Oh, here we go. They're in the AP top 25. They're not in the playoff rankings. There we go. So I found it.
Okay, there we go.
And the Coastal Carolina is playing, for the love of God, Georgia State, and they are currently 10.5-point favorites. They're in the damn Sun Belt. The freaking mother blanking Sun Belt. The Sun Blanking Belt.
Go ahead and swear. Get it out of your system.
The Sun Blanking Belt, 10.5. Put it down on the list with Biancardi. So now we have two picks for the listeners.
All right.
And then we have a third pick, right? Because the listener took... what was the other one the listener took?
We have New York Mike taking the...
No. Oh, that's it. He took New York Mike. So we get three. We need two more college games for Mike Pratt. Well,
Can we do an NFL break. Game?
No, because...
Well, this texter wants to take...
Too bad. He's out.
He wants to take Rummage's Cowboys laying 9 against the Dirty Birds.
New York Mike's already taken. New York Mike's already taken the Raiders, and we only do one NFL game a week. So we got now Auburn.
Oh, it's NCAA cross country. That's what's going on.
Okay, there you go.
Texter says they're in the Sun Belt. This guy says, I remember my first radio show.
Very funny. You're a regular riot pal.
This texter says, I love listening to your dad, but his frustration is always hilarious.
I know. I got to admit, it's showbiz, so I figure that most people
this guy
find
just
that
sent
amusing.
Us a screenshot of everything. Thank you. Oh, man. If we hadn't got there, this guy had us covered because he just
thank you.
Took a
but
screenshot
then, you know,
of everything.
That's part of when I do that because the people are like, what the hell? Why is he having such a hard time with this? And then they usually bail me out. So.
Pop's floundering is bad radio, but it's damned entertaining.
That's the whole point. That's the whole damn point. They're not contradictory. They are, as long as it's entertaining and it's not in bad taste, we embrace it.
Sun Belt Conference, 10.5. All of them are coming in.
Got it now. Thank you.
Well, in their defense, we were on a 20-second delay because we like to say potty words sometimes. And also, they're probably listening on the stream, which is also behind about 30
seconds. It's a day behind. We're still running Thursday's show.
Yeah, we're probably doing a Thursday night football preview right now.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, so we need two more college games. So find them for me, and
right,
then
well,
I'm going
to
make my picks.
We also need to take a break. So 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Text in a couple of college picks for the weekend. And, I got to clear one more break. And then we'll come back, wrap up with some Sagarinos, maybe get a thought or two on college football. So there you go.
Kentucky's going to play well tonight against Robert Morris. So and I think Louisville's going to have a much better time because the pace is going to... I think both teams are going to be much happier tonight. Although Kentucky shouldn't have been too unhappy, although the fans lost their mind. They didn't play badly against a very good Duke team. So I'm choking to death to add to all the excitement. So let's get to break, and then we'll be back. Stay with us.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
All right, we are going to do some feetball here. But it's also, of course, basketball season. Cards and Cats both in action today. Terry wants to weigh in on one of them, I think, on the Cats. So welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Bob, I know you were there live. So try to explain for the UK faithful that are trying to jump off the bridge because we lost. What did you see in person that encouraged you about Kentucky, and what did you think were some cause of concern? And also, I wanted to kind of backtrack a little bit. In all your callings for games, you probably come across the C.J. Frederick guy at some point for Iowa. What, if and when he gets on the floor, what should we expect out of him as a player? And did you see him at all during the game,
really,
like during the warm-ups or anything? Did he look like he was okay, that he's close to playing? And I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
I really didn't. Strangely, I've never had a game of his, so I apologize for that. And I also, in all fairness, I'm not watching warm-ups to try and evaluate guys. We're doing a whole bunch of crap at the table there. I mean, especially between games, you know, we're wrapping up stuff from the first game. We're talking to the studio in Connecticut, and so I wouldn't base anything on that. I know his reputation is he's going to really help him. How close he is to playing, I don't know. That I don't know. I didn't even ask Al about that, to be honest with you. The other question's a lot easier for me because I got a lot of thoughts on that. I said at the time, I said on yesterday's show, I said earlier on this show, I'll say it again, I didn't understand the people. I mean, I understand how much they hate losing to Duke, but it really bothers me when to me, it's because it's I always boast on how well people know college basketball here, and then don't let sports make you stupid. And I say that all the time, and that's what we're doing here, because people called the postgame show just beside themselves. Well, we've only won 9 of our last 26 games. A, there's nothing do with this year's team. B, all right, if you're going to start taking statistics, why don't you put his whole run together and see what the winning percentage is? I mean, so it doesn't make any sense. And most importantly, C, evaluate the team based on what you think makes up a good basketball team. And I think he's got a chance to have a really special team. Duke is very, very good, and they're very, very good players, played very well. I mean, Banchero played an All-American game, and he wasn't even the best player on his team. Trevor Keels played incredibly and put the team on his shoulders late, and they did a really good job. It's crunch time. Mike ran a couple. He did what he does. Every coach coaches differently. He was so influenced by his time with the U.S. national team, all those pro guys, he's adopted a lot of pro philosophies. And what he did late is he tried to pick matchups, and he put guys, they do simple one, you know, and most of the shots in the NBA come off like one or two passes. And that's what they did. They got in sets, and they made one pass to the guy they wanted on the floor where he could do something with it, and they let him work. And that's what they work on in practice, and they were ready for it. And Banchero made a big shot late, even though Keels made a couple of big plays. So, you know, there's no sin in that. The other guys got scholarships too, and very good players. For Kentucky, what do they have? They shoot it way better than they did last year. My God, it's like night and day. I mean, they shot made what, 7 threes, I think, in the game. I think that's right. And most importantly, it was by 4 different players. So they got guys who can shoot it. They've got experienced players. Grady's one of those guys. He had more threes than anybody. He had 3, and this is what he does. It's a little funny shot, as you know. It's got a little sideways spin to it, but he's confident. They have confidence in him. He can make it. They have experienced players back. I still think Davion Mintz is going to, you know, he made 5 points. He had a 3, and he's you know, he was the one maybe bright spot from last year. So that's a nice luxury you have when you can put him in to spell some of the other guards. Sevier Wheeler is as quick as anybody I've ever seen. In fact, he's too fast for his own good sometimes, but that's an adjustment too for both sides. They're going to have to learn, the players off of him, off of the ball, going to have to learn to play with that speed, and he's going to have to learn. Sometimes he doesn't have to go 100 miles an hour. You know, 90 miles an hour will get the job done, and his teammates then will be able to keep up with him. And then poor Ty Washington, who everybody's just burying, is ridiculous to me. I mean, it was really his first game. Forget the exhibition game. It was his first real game you play in the 9 o'clock game at the Garden against one of the best man-to-man teachers of defense in the history of college basketball. Go ahead, son, and go out there. And they did a good job on him, and he's still trying to figure out. I mean, Wheeler's not he's great. You'd love to play with him because if you run, he'll get you the ball, but he's not the easiest guy to, you know, without having much much experience to play with against the Duke. He sometimes, you know, was going so fast, you could just look at the other four guys and look, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, because he's going so freaking quickly that they can't make that second nature move to know, okay, well, he goes here, I'm going to slide to this spot, I'm going to slide to the corner and get a shot for myself. And so they, you know, lost some opportunities, and he didn't shoot it great, but, you know, he played Duke his first game and didn't quote-unquote play well and still had 9 points, and you can tell he's going to be a special player. So they have that. They have experienced players coming back. You know, Toppin's back. Brooks had a good second half. They needed him to step up. He got 9 points. You know, they so and as I said, Grady gives them a consistent deep threat, and they throw all that together, and then they got Shibwe, who was unbelievable. The guy had 19 rebounds, 12 of which were offensive rebounds. That was more. He had more offensive rebounds than anybody else in the game had total rebounds. I mean, he said he's determined. He looked like his freshman year at West Virginia when he really got everybody's attention. He's back to playing at that level. He was really, really good. And like I said, it takes a lot of pressure off your team when a guy can do that, because he's getting all those offensive rebounds. I mean, if you come down, shoot, miss, get a rebound, shoot, miss, get a rebound, shoot, miss, get a rebound, and then finally score, you technically are 1-for-4. You're only shooting 25%, but you've scored 100% of the time when you've had the ball. You've come down the floor, and that possession you scored. He gave them the opportunity to do that. So that's another. I like their toughness. Duke is very good. Their best players were playing pretty damn well, and every time it looked like they were going to get some separation, UK came back, put a run together of their own. Duke made another run. UK made another run of their own. So they're good. I mean, you know, I'm doing analysis. I'm not, you know, rooting for or against anybody. So if anybody's listening, thinking, you know, these all four of these coaches were great to me. I have great admiration and respect for all of them. But as a basketball fan, it was a terrific game, and I just don't understand all the negativity. I saw Cal after the game. He's never happy to lose, but he was. I could tell by his demeanor. He could see what I saw, which he's got a chance to have a really special bunch. They're going to be a good team. The thing that they don't have that he's had in the past, they don't have great overall team size. Their guards are not very big, and after Shibwe, they don't have that kind of presence inside. They just don't. So if he gets in foul trouble or he gets hurt, God forbid, you know, then they got some problems. But they're going to be good, and they have a chance to be special. They play hard. They buy in. They're going to try to play defensively like he wants them to. That's half the battle. I think right out of the jump last year, you could see Cal saw he had some issues with that team. They never got on the same page, and all year long they had guys playing with 1 foot out the door, thinking about getting to the next level. This year's team, I don't think he's going to have that situation. They're all on the same page, and I think they'll be fine. Because I think that Duke team has a chance to be really. I think three of the four teams in New York have a chance to be really special: Kansas, Duke, and Kentucky. And I think Michigan State's going to be fine as well by the time the year ends. But I just don't think he's got the same high ceiling like the other three do. But they'll be an NCAA team, and they'll be very good also. So I'm
Pizza Day.
You can be as optimistic or pessimistic as you want. It's America. Do what you want to. But I think it's crazy that the calls I heard after the game were just astounding to me. So, anyway, that's my – you asked a question, I answered it. So, there you go. All right. What do you – today's pizza day. We're not going to have time to do – I'll have to email you my picks again, Nick. So, I'll do that.
That's fine.
I was honest last week. I emailed them to you, and I was only 1-4, and I, you know, fessed up to it. You saw it. So, I'll do that again this week. But we still need two more of Mike's college picks.
We do, and I got them.
Okay, what do you got?
Is saying that he wants the massive amount of points. New Mexico State is getting 51 against Alabama.
I wouldn't touch that game with a 10-foot pole. But okay,
that guy. Yeah, that was the latest one. So I have to say that one. I was going to offer my own, but
okay. Go ahead.
I mean, no. Well, I was going to say partially because I believe in justice, and I think that the rankings are stupid for putting Michigan ahead of Michigan State, but also because I would fade my picks, and I'm doing an emotional hedge for my good buddy Keener. He's a big Michigan fan, so Penn State's getting 1.5 at home, basically a pick 'em over Michigan. I was going to take that game, but we're not going to take that game. Because we're going to stay in the Big Ten, though, because the text line, obviously some Brom lovers.
Right.
Overwhelmingly. I mean, there were a lot of them. People saying to take Purdue in the points against Ohio State this weekend.
Okay, and the spread in that game is exactly, I can find it right here, 21. They're getting 21 on the road. So yeah. Purdue plus 21. Okay, good enough. All right, your pizza day. Read your pizza.
I want to give a shout out to George and the Baranos team for dropping off lunch to the ESPN Louisville Studios. If you're thinking lunch or dinner, Baranos has you covered tonight and this weekend for the big games. All Baranos now delivering alcohol. What goes better with pizza than a little beer? Carry out and delivery is available to your home. Support a local business. Yeah, it's that good Baranos pizza. Also, how about this? If Baranos wasn't impressive enough, they partnered up with St. Jude Hospital Target House. Childhood Cancer Family Fund Santa Claus Toy Drive will be a month-long new toy collection for the pediatric cancer patients living at St. Jude's Hospital's Target House long-term family housing facility. The toy collection is sponsored by Baranos Pizza and Hessig and Pohl. And yeah, just drop-off sites, go to santaclaus.info.
Oh, very nice. All right. Let's tee it up. We got a couple of minutes. That's all it takes. So let's tell you what the Sagarins say, and then you take it under advisement. Here we go. Hit it.
The V Show breaks down this weekend's football matchups using the Sagarin numbers from Jeff Sagarin.
Jeff is now a franchise. His column in USA Today being joined by rankings in the Louisville Courier Journal, the Bloomington Herald Times for 27 years now, the Dallas Morning News, and other papers around the country.
For those of you wanting to bet a shekel or two,
shut up and take my money.
The V Show shows you which games to avoid.
Nope.
And which games to bet.
How much money you got?
No, Carl.
It's a proven system.
No.
You're throwing money away.
Carl, no.
Fine, stay a sucker.
Just remember,
numbers don't lie.
Here we go.
All right, I got the lines. Ready?
I got them too. All right, well, I'll let you read them to me, then they save us even more time because I'm dialed in here.
Falcons.
Let's start with the Jets and the Bills.
All right, Jets and Bills. Buffalo laying 12.5 against the Jetropolitan.
They should be laying 11.5, so that would be a Sagarin no play. All right, Atlanta and New Orleans. Atlanta and Dallas, excuse me.
Dallas laying 9.
That's right on the number. Should be 9. No play there. Okay.
All right.
God, you pick the next one. I'll find it.
Yeah, Saints at Titans, Tennessee laying 3.
They should be laying 4. So they're at home in that game, so that's probably a no play as well. Yeah, I will do this, though, for you. If you want to know the recency bias, because I think there's something to that, Tennessee is actually playing 6.5 points better recently, so that's encouraging.
Wow, without Derrick Henry. How about that?
The Bills are only playing 7.5 points better than the Jets recently, so you can actually – but the Jets situation is so screwed up. I wouldn't – you know, that's – if you lose money betting the Jets, you want to kick yourself. Atlanta and Dallas in recency situation, you would have – but Dallas is playing only 7.5 points better than Atlanta. That's still a no play, though.
All right.
You know, and what's his name's here to pick? Brian's here to take the dog. Tennessee is, as I said, playing 6.5 points better lately than New Orleans. So if you're going to play recency, you could play Tennessee. All right. Did we do Jacksonville and Indy?
No. We got Jacksonville at Indy. Indy laying 10.5.
Indy should be laying only 9.5, and recency, they should only be laying 8.5. So, I hate to say it, but if you're going to play there, it'll probably be Jacksonville. What do you got next?
All right, Browns at Patriots, New England laying 2.5.
Should be New England by 0.5, and if you want to know what recency bias, Cleveland should be a 0.5 favorite. So that's actually but I hate when it's on the road. When it's on the road, I never make it a 3-star play, but that would be a play to Cleveland, take a shot there. All right, what do you got next?
All right, Detroit at Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh laying 8.
Yeah, the winless Lions, you can't bet a team that's winless. You just can't.
Sorry, Marcus Maven. All right.
You can't win, but Pittsburgh is, how many are they laying?
8.
They should be laying 11, almost 12, and recency 14.5. So that'd be a Pittsburgh play, no matter how many points they're laying there. What do you got next?
Mark Ennis's Bucks at Washington football team. Bucks laying 9.5.
The Bucks are laying 9.5. They should be laying 7.5. Recency bias, 8.5. That's really a no play there. What do you got next?
Panthers at Cardinals. Arizona laying 10.5.
Arizona should be laying 11.5, and recency bias that you should be laying 15.
Wow.
So you might want to think about taking Arizona over the that would be a possible play there for Arizona. All right, what do you got next?
All right, Vikings-Chargers. Chargers laying 3 at home.
Vikings-Chargers. Chargers should be laying 3 at home, both recency and overall, so that's a no play.
All right, Produce's Eagles against Teddy and the Broncos. Denver laying 2.5.
Wow. Denver should be laying 5 and recency bias 5.5. So, and Denver's home, that's a good play. I'd play Denver there. Sorry, Produce. I take Denver there. What do you got next?
All right, Seattle at Green Bay. Green Bay laying 3.5.
Is what's his name playing, Mr. COVID guy?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, the Green Bay's laying 3.5. They should be laying 4. So I'd say that's a no play, really. What do you got next?
All right. New York Mike's Raiders hosting Jason Anderson's Chiefs. Raiders getting 2.5.
All right. The Chiefs over bet all the time here. They're getting 2.5 at Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They should be getting 3, but recency bias, they should only be getting 1.5. So that might be a lukewarm play for Las Vegas. I could see why you'd want to play that. And nobody trusts the Chiefs right now. From week five on, go look at Mahomes' quarterback numbers. I like him. He's very likable. But his numbers, he's close to the worst quarterback in the league from week five on. That's how bad his stats are. Is that it? All of them?
Rams and Niners. Rams laying 3.5.
Should be 3.5. No play there. And then
with OBJ.
Monday night. Which one?
They have with Odell Beckham now. How about that?
Yeah. That was the Monday game. We're done?
Yep, that's it.
All right, everybody. Thank you. Unless you know something I don't, we'll see you Monday. I'll see some of you at the arena tonight. Have a good weekend. The Take is next, including, of course, the mixtape with Beavis and Butthead. See you then.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.